Elder Moore has brought unto us some of the blessed treasures that we find in the written word of God. He's brought to our minds the beauty of the gospel, the blessed Son of God. He has mentioned a law by which that we, under which we are found to be sinners, for sin is a transgression of the law. And he has mentioned a glorious law that sets us free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin is real. Sin is something that we all are a partaker of. Romans 5:12, by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so that death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. As this fact has plagued us all, we see the necessity of freedom from it. There was given Adam a law. There was delivered Moses a law. And we are taught in Romans, nevertheless death reigned even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Between the time of Adam and the time of Moses, death still reigned. And sin hath reigned unto death, that is, it ruled unto death. Every individual upon the face of the earth, we believe, under conditions in the scriptures, are found to be sinners by nature in their relationship to Adam. I wish to attempt to discuss for a little while an expression of scripture which I have been thinking about for some time. And I shall not be able to bring you all that is contained in it, but I hope that I do understand some of the things that are taught in it. This scripture will be found in Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he, and referring to Jesus Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Let us meditate upon the office of Jesus Christ and what we think of Jesus Christ. And as we think of Jesus Christ, do you look upon him as one that can be taught anything? Do we not look upon him as knowing all things? Do we not look upon him as the creator of heaven and earth, that by him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made? Can we think of Jesus Christ as having been taught anything new? Yet our text says that though he were a son, and he was the Son of God. He was made under the law. He was born of a woman made under the law. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of the Highest. And one of the prophets said that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Here was the Son of God. Here was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this Word was in the beginning, yet it was made flesh. And the sense that learning is used, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience, I think, or to my mind, brings the actual experience of the things that is felt in these fleshly bodies of ours. We remember that Jesus was not here as an angel, because the same writer said that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He took not upon himself the nature of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham, that he might be made like unto his brethren. It is in this sense of being made like his brethren and being made of a woman and born under the law to redeem them that were under the law. It is in this sense, as by actual experience as a man and as God, in obeying every design and everything that justice demanded that man should obey. For man offended God, and in order to satisfy justice, a man must satisfy the laws of God. And in this, Jesus Christ did this. For our text says that being made perfect, yes, he was born in the world. He had the nature of Abraham. He took upon himself the seed of Abraham. He was of the seed of David. He was born a babe in Bethlehem, born of a woman, and he was made under the law. So then we have the actual experience of this little babe in Bethlehem. At one time, each of us was a little babe. So was Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman and made under the law, and so were we. And he, in being born under the law, came to fulfill to satisfy divine justice in your behalf, being made perfect. We see the perfection of Jesus Christ so far as the demands of justice are concerned, so far as that which would satisfy the God of heaven. We see in Jesus the power, for there was power delivered in his hand. Yes, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. Being made perfect, may we see him tried to see whether he was perfect or not. In examination, who do you think that the Son of Man is? What do you think of Christ? Is he one of the prophets? Is he a good man to you? Or is he the Christ, the Son of the living God? If you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then flesh and blood, has not revealed all this to thee, but his Father in heaven has revealed it to you. He was made perfect, for there was no guile found in his mouth. There was no fault found in him. There was no sin found within him. There was no transgression found within him. And we hear the voice of heaven, the voice of Almighty God the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God was pleased with him, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was made perfect, and his perfection is what that we need. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. He suffered the temptation of Satan. He was in all points tempted as we, yet without sins, without sin. And we do not have a high priest. We do not have a high priest that can't be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But we have Jesus, who was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. Here is how that he was made perfect. Here is one that knows what you feel. Here is one that knows the feeling of those things, having by actual experience experienced them. He has experienced hunger, for he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And after that he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, Satan came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread." Why was it necessary that he faced Satan? Why? It was this deceiver that brought our father and mother into sin, into the garden. It was he that brought them in bondage. It was he that led them to eat of that which God forbade them to eat. So then it was necessary that he be able to resist this power. And he said, "What do you think of your strength at this time? What do you think of your ability at this time? If you had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and you had the power to turn stones into bread, and Satan tempted you and said, 'Command these stones that they be made bread.' But Jesus said, 'It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" Here is the perfection of Jesus Christ. He was made perfect, and he had the power. And when that he father tempted him, while he was tempted in the wilderness, he and as he took him to an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all of the treasures of the world, and he said, "All of these will I give you if you fall down and worship me." Remember that Jesus was representing you here. Remember that Jesus was fighting and conquering this power and resisting this power for you. For he said that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That can you see that he was made perfect? Can you see any other one that could perform this? Can you see anyone that could do this? And again, he took him to a high part of the temple, upon a pinnacle, and he said, "Cast yourself down, for it is written that the angels shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone." But he said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Here, and after this, the angels ministered unto Jesus. Are you able to see that Jesus actually experienced the things that you feel, and he knows the plagues of sin. He knows the feeling of hunger. He knows what power and what temptations you endure, having been tempted in all points alike as you. And now can you see? I believe that you can, that you have one that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities. And we do have infirmities, but on with our text where that he said he learned these things through the things that he suffered. Jesus suffered from the time that he came into the world. He suffered. There was suffering. He didn't have a place to lay his head, though he was the only heir of glory, rightfully. At that time, without his shed blood, without his giving his life, without his blessed life being laid down, there could have been no salvation for anyone but a home in heaven and immortal glory from the first man that came into the world until the last that shall be was founded upon the offering of Jesus Christ, his redemptive work. Suffered. We find that as an infant that they attempted to take his life. We find that he was ridiculed. We find that he suffered reproach for as they looked upon him and looked upon John. They said of John the Baptist that he hath a devil. John came neither eating nor drinking. And as our brother read to us this afternoon, that John came neither eating nor drinking, that is, as other men, for he ate locusts. His meat was locusts and wild honey. He didn't eat as we eat. And they said that he hath a devil. And Jesus came both eating and drinking. And they said, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibbler, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But he said, wisdom is justified of her children. We hope that the very person of wisdom enables us to see that Jesus was made perfect, and in his suffering that he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, because that he was made perfect. We believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and in by this reconciliation that we by the reconciliation of Christ, as God was in him, that we may be reconciled to him also. Though he were a son, yet being made perfect, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. What was accomplished in his suffering as he suffered for us? Now we like sheep have all gone astray. Have we gone astray? And he laid on him, upon whom? Upon this one that was made perfect. And he laid upon him began again on that. We all like sheep have gone astray, and by his stripes we are healed. Yes, all have gone astray, and he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. I cannot imagine in full that statement. I just cannot. I cannot comprehend the magnitude of my own sins, let alone the sins and the weight of them that Jesus bore. But it was laid upon him, and he had no help to bear them. For as the prophet saw him, he said, who is this that cometh from Edom in dyed garments? Who is it? It was Jesus Christ. It was the Son of God. It was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Wherefore art thou garments red like him that tread the wine fat? Why was it so? Because that there was none with him. There was none to help. He accomplished something alone. He was traveling in the greatness of his strength, and mighty to say slave, and the prophet said that of the people there was none with him, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Yes, he trod this alone. Of the people there was none with him, and he said, therefore mine own arm hath brought salvation to me, and of the people there was none with me. There was none to help. He was made perfect. There was no other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. Here is Jesus Christ, and here is his suffering, and here is the accomplishment of his suffering. It brings salvation. He said, mine own arm has brought salvation unto me, and of the people there was none with me. Was there any with him? What did he become there? What happened when he suffered on the cross and said that it is finished? What happened when he rose from the tomb and ascended into glory? What happened? Why we believe that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He is the originator, the beginner of our obedience. And he first his that perfect obedience. And I believe that I proved when I came before you that we were all sinners. And now I wish to ask the question, after that an individual has, after that they have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, I ask you the question, is there any individual in this day and time, or any time that you know of, that has reached a state that there was no longer room for improvement in their lives? I have never seen a person that there was not still room for improvement in their lives. And in the sense of the text that it is used here, that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I would like to know what obedience is under consideration here. Is it obeying the gospel of the Son of God? Is that what is under consideration? Well, do all obey the gospel? Does everyone obey the gospel? No, they do not. I believe that we could all agree. And those that do obey the gospel, is it 100% obedience, or is there still room for growth in gospel obedience, in the virtues of Christian knowledge, and in servitude to God and man? I believe that we will agree that there is, but unto all them that obey him, he became the author of eternal salvation. And in the sense of our text that we have, this text in Hebrews that he has used here, did he become the author of eternal salvation unto anyone that will not obey him? In the sense of the text that we have used, I do not believe that he did. For Jesus said that he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father that sent him. And this is the Father's will that had sent him, that out of all that he had given him, that he should given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And Jesus said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Here is the obedience of the text to me. It is the power of Jesus, and it is the working of his grace in the hearts of individuals, and his saving power. For he said that he is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And again, that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Jesus is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, would we take the position now that Jesus is the Savior of all men, and apply that that to every individual that is on the face of the earth. If he has reference to every individual upon the face of the earth, this is a completed action. He is the Savior of all men. And to me, it means is the Savior of all that are saved. We know that would prove far too much. That would, if it applied to everyone on the face of the earth, had been, is now, or will be, that would prove universal deliverance from sin. But he is the only Savior, and as all are not saved, those that are saved, Jesus is their Savior, and he is the Savior of all that are saved, and especially those that believe. And I remember when Paul preached the gospel of the Son of God to the Gentiles, we find that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and we find that they were obedient, that when he gave this life, that they did not resist it, but it came into their hearts. And my people shall be a willing people in the day of my power. So then there is a sense in which that those under consideration here are obedient in this, for they hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And also, when God writes his law upon the mind, or prints his law on the mind, upon the heart of an individual, they obey that, for they are passive in this work, and this is by the finger of God, or by the Spirit of the living God. Jesus is the author of their obedience, and all of those that he is the author of their obedience, they obey him. And when that Jesus shall come in the last day, and when that he shall speak unto those in the graves, when that Jesus spoke of this, when he said, "Marvel not at this," that is, of those that are dead hearing his voice and living. But he said, "The time is coming in the which they that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." Yes, they shall obey that voice, the power of that voice. And we believe that Jesus, as he began the work and as he was made perfect, we will not charge him with folly. We will not charge him with the lack of strength. We will not charge him of the lack of wisdom, because he was made perfect and he became the author of eternal salvation. And we believe that everyone that he became the author of eternal salvation of, that they shall be called, that they shall be made like Jesus, that they are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that they shall be called and justified and glorified. And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him give us all things? And who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is Christ that died. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Can anyone condemn one that God has justified? Can any separate one from the love of Christ? Can any thwart the purpose of God? When known unto God are all of his works from before the foundation of the world, can any separate you from the love of Christ? The love that he possessed was a love that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son. Yes, it was a love that he gave his life for. And herein is his blessed love, that of Jesus Christ, that is so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now behold Jesus Christ, that he by one righteousness forever perfected them that are sanctified. And he wants in the end of the world put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was made perfect. He did the work that he came to do. His work, Paul said, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And as he said that he was chief of sinners, that he was less than the least of all saints, and surely we could not charge Paul with the lack of gospel obedience. He did obey the gospel, yet he still confessed that he was a sinner, and not only a sinner, but the chief of sinners. But Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I am chief. This was a faithful saying. He was being faithful about the matter.